Hey everybody, stoked to introduce this new series to you guys on Fridays this season. Before we get into it, I want to let you guys know that next Friday, August 30th, the walk-ons, all four of us, Drake, Kevin, myself, and Gary, will be at Back Pocket Brewery for Fry Fest, 3 to 5 p.m., August 30th. We're going to do a live podcast. There's some exclusive merchandise you'll be able to buy, Kirk's Dogs t-shirts, if you know what I'm saying. Pictures, autographs, Hops by a Million makes its return. The signature beer that Back Pocket brewed us. It's going to be a great time. We're going to kick off football season. We are excited for the next 4 months. All right, now let's introduce this new show. In an effort to bring you guys more content from the walk-ons this year, we're adding a couple shows, and this is one of them. Coach Justin Lima, one of our former assistant strength coaches when we were at Iowa, joins me every Friday for the 5-10-5 show, a podcast based exclusively on the nerdy side of strength and conditioning in college football. We're going to go deep on all things. Today, we start with the summer program. Hope you enjoy. Let's have a day. Let's go. Wash Up Walk-Ons, a new show. This is different. This is not your normal episode here. I don't even know if we're going to have the same lead-in with the music, but this is something I've wanted to do for a while now. Returning guest Coach Justin Lima joins us today, and he's going to join us every week this season. Like I said, something I've wanted to do, I wanted to add shows to the Wash Up Walk-Ons lineup. I want this to become something where we might give you a podcast or something to listen to almost every day of the week. And Justin had a similar idea. He hit me up about a month ago and said, hey, what do you think about adding a strength and conditioning segment to the podcast? And I was like, dude, I would love that. As many of you know, listening to the show for years now, me, Kevin, and Drake are all kind of strength conditioning nerds in our own right. And Justin, I don't know if anybody's more of a strength conditioning nerd than you. You are into it. We can re-qualify Justin here. He was one of our assistant strength coaches under Coach Doyle when we were there. Went on to lead his own program at Towson, and I think he's pretty qualified and knows his stuff. This show is going to aim to bring you the strength and conditioning side exclusively of college football, especially around during the season. So, Coach, thanks for joining me, first of all.
You're welcome, brother. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to do this. We're going to start with summer program. We're coming off of the summer right now. I think we're going to talk about some camp stuff as well, and then we'll lead into, hey, what is a week of the season look like? How do you prep? How do you go from Sunday to Friday to Saturday? What's that look like from the strength coach side of things? But starting out in the summer, from your perspective, your description, what is the summer program in a Division I football program built to do? What is the purpose of summer?
First and foremost, it's to get the guys ready for camp, so that way the coaches can do what they want to do during camp. So priority number one is conditioning, and then being able to make sure that the players can do all of the work that the coaches want them to do when they get to camp. Like, that simple.
Just get them ready for camp, because camp gets them ready for the season. Right.
Correct. Like, that's our job. Our job is to make sure that they can practice. That way the coaches can get the players ready to understand the game plan, whatever things the coaches want them to do. For all the listeners out there, think about it. Our job is essentially to put a lot of money in the player's bank account so the coaches can spend that money in practice to help the players be able to get ready for the game.
That's an incredible analogy.
Thank you.
You're giving them the currency so that they can use it.
You are the energy of their body. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Their physical capability to now translate not just physical, but also now the mental side of the game, the strategic side of the game. Coaches help put all that together. That's what summer is for. Is, in your opinion, because this is one question I was like, what are we going to talk about within the summer program? And then what came to mind for me, and it's maybe just because of my personal experience, how much of the summer program, or even we could go at a whole, the entire off-season strength conditioning plan, how much of that from a coaching standpoint is mental preparation, like learning to do mental toughness side of things? How much of it is we need to get these guys ready to do hard things? Like, we need them to work through massive obstacles and challenges and get them to do things that maybe they think they can't do. Is there any directive on that? Is that part of it, or is that just a product of the elite level of strength conditioning that a Division I program goes through?
Yeah, it's both. Like you said, it's wove throughout the entirety of your offseason, just like strength, speed, power is. So it's emphasized all year round, but then getting ready to actually like compete in Kinnick. I mean, that's something, the ability to go and have those Kinnick run sessions, because it is different. Like it, you have the drop of adrenaline, you get the, you know, the goosebumps on your, like, you just get excited. And if you don't know how to experience that, and like, again, you can never fully replicate it until you're inside Kinnick with 72,000 screaming and it's third down. And you know, it's, they're playing the noise and the defense.
I can hear the music now. Yeah.
Like I'm saying, and you know, you're in it and you can't fully prepare for that moment until you've been in it. But in terms of strength and conditioning, you know, you do general exercises, back squats to get your legs stronger. So that way when you run, right, you're faster on the field. So we can do general tough things like lift heavy weights, sprint hard, make you compete against a teammate, measure it, record it, rank it, post it. So you're in a competitive mindset. And so you're doing that all year round. But obviously, again, as the summer winds down, you're talking more and more about, hey, we have to be our best. We have to be prepared to play in Kinnick. So it's, again, it's present at all times in the offseason, but obviously you turn it up as you get closer to camp.
Thinking back as a player, I think the mental fortitude aspect of it was really big, and it's not something that I thought about in the moment. There was never like a, you know, it wasn't 2014 summer Tuesday and we're running like, I don't know, whatever the conditioning was that day. And I wasn't sitting out there thinking like, man, they're doing a great job of getting my mental preparation. Like, I'm doing hard things, so this is going to help me. And but looking back now from the hindsight of it, I think it's almost as important to just get these eight, like, you know, young kids, because that's what college kids are. They're kids. Get them to like really do something that takes them to the edge and makes them question their ability to get something done. Because then when you complete that, because the feeling of finishing a conditioning workout was chef's kiss. I mean, yes, it was because I got to go sit on the couch and like just hang out, but you're so satisfied and proud of yourself that you got through another day. Like, in you know, maybe for Josh Jackson, it wasn't as big of a deal, but for me, it was huge. Right. And I think there were times during the season when, you know, I got to run out there and snap a ball to beat Michigan or something. And like having those experiences where it was like, but I did four quarters, you know, like I crushed four quarters in the summer conditioning. I could do stuff that I'm presented with that might be a challenge. So I think that was huge. What does it look like? So, you know, at Iowa, and I think pretty much everywhere, you're probably looking at about 8 weeks, right? Like, and one of those weeks is a week off. You get 4th of July week off and you get, you know, we got a lift card. You guys gave us something to do for that week, but it's, you know, it's on your own. It's unsupervised. It's nothing crazy. So really you're working with 7 weeks of time in the summer. How does a coach look at that? And getting into some of the nerdy stuff now, how do you phase that out? What's the primary, what are our strength objectives in your mind? I know everybody's going to have something different, but how do we layer that? So you're getting your conditioning and your strength. We're not doing too much. We're not breaking down the guys' bodies, but we're also getting enough for what we need for camp. Are there high days, low days? I know we've talked with DeMarco about this before a lot too. You know, you have a really intense day, a high speed day. Other days are maybe a power day. There's lower volume. How do you look at that 7 week schedule and you think, how do we do this?
You reverse engineer it. So you start at the back. Okay. Hey, camp. And that's where coach communication, strength coach, head coach has to be paramount. And it's not strength coach asking the head coach or the position coach, what are you doing? Cause I want to tell you what to do. It's what are you doing so I can prepare the guys for it. Yeah. Okay. Hey, you know, camp week one's going to look like this. Day one's going to look like this. As a strength coach, you want to make sure that that final week we've done 15 to 20% more of everything, sprint volume, high speed running, change in direction. Because again, I want to put money in your bank account so you can spend it. Because if the coaches say they're going to do X, chances are they're going to do X plus some. I want to make sure you've done X plus even more than what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So all you do is you just say, okay, you're going to do this in week one of camp. Now, if that's where we have to get, here's week one where we currently are. Let's just regress and say, okay, week eight, we're doing this. Okay, week seven, we're going to do 10 to 15% less. Mm-hmm. And you just work that backwards. And then you start to remember like, okay, well, I had the guys in May and they only, depending on the calendar, they only had 2 to 3 weeks off. All right, if it's only 2 weeks off, we can be more aggressive in week one. Or if it was 3 weeks, hey, let's be a little bit more cautious. And then you're just able to plug and play based off of, hey, this is where we're trying to go. This is where we left off in May. Now it's just a numbers game, but you start with the end in mind.
That's a good backwards planning. Essentially, that's actually a good way to look at it. I probably could have deduced that myself, but I never thought about that. I was always curious when we would come back into a phase, like how do they choose, like how are we deciding where this starts? Like how are we starting at 855s or, you know, whatever number it may be. And it was always higher than I would have liked it to be for me. And I probably ran harder than most people over that 2 to 3 week break too. Most of the guys were just chilling. That's smart. What's strength wise, lifting wise, we'll get to conditioning in a second. What is in your mind the most important thing to work on during the summer?
You can't neglect any of the qualities. You have to make sure, like you said, high days, low days. That's the thing is when you're in camp, they're all going to be high days. So you can't, like you do the athlete a disadvantage to be like high day, low day, because it sounds great. But if that's not what the coaches are doing, then you're not preparing the athlete for the totality of the stress during the week. So if you're going to have three hard practices in a row, you need to have done three hard, high CNS days in a row during the summer. Yeah. Like, so you just have to do that because remember, we have to prepare the athletes to practice. The coaches will get them ready to play the games and it gets a little muddy in practice. But in terms of answering your strength, typically in the weight room, you can't neglect any of them. It's called vertical integration. So you have to make sure you're still hitting your high strength stuff to, again, retain that strength quality. You have to respect the fact that, all right, you're doing tons of running, so you're one rep max. You still can't be touching 100% all the time, especially older athletes. Younger athletes, sure, but you want to touch that max strength so you can hold on to it. But when you lift really slow and heavy, it's fantastic for your tendon health. Tendons, when you're running, changing direction, that's very difficult on them. But when you're working with that tendon-muscle connection, high strength, low speed of contraction movements are awesome for tendon health. So you have to touch on that, but you also have to touch on high speed movements so your body's prepared for it outside. So that's why you would see typically with us, we would have two, you know, upper body lift days, two lower body lift days, one of them like a dynamic effort, one of them the max effort. And then the accessory movements later on, those can pair and you can hit your volume work for the older guys. So you're, you know, touching on all the qualities in the weight room. You want to have a horizontal push, a bench, a horizontal pull, dumbbell row, vertical push, dumbbell overhead press, vertical pull, pull up. Your lower body gets broken up into double leg, single leg, you know, a knee dominant movement. So a squat or a lunge, then it's posterior chain, double or single leg RDLs, and then knee flexion as well. And then you can dive into the torso and ankles, knees, all those other things you want to touch on. But you do that during that, you know, 5 day week.
And this might even be its own episode. We can touch on it quickly, but that brings up corrective groups that I forgot about. Can you explain corrective groups
real quickly for everybody? You do a diagnostic test on the athlete before. So the minute they come in, you want to see how they move, up, down, right, left, unilateral. So single joint, single limb, double limb. And you just want to know, hey, how did these athletes' joints move? Is there a problem? Because just like with your car, if you're going to drive your car from New York to California, you want to make sure that it's functioning properly. These athletes are going to train really hard. You can get wear and tear at the joints and the muscles if their body isn't moving the way that it should. So we take them through a movement called the functional movement screen. It was not the Gray Cook 21-point FMS. It's a movement that we created at Iowa. That was a combination of that FMS plus Mike Clark's movement evaluation. And we're able to see, hey, how well does this athlete move? What are the imbalances, right leg to left leg, or upper body, lower body, or front of the body, back of the body? Now we see that there's a problem. Let's give it exercises to make sure that we can fix that problem so the athlete is healthy.
How much, I'm curious, because I, as a player, you just don't give a shit. But I mean, not about the FMS, but like for me specifically, I was probably one of the only guys.
Yeah, that you didn't have to be in a corrective group.
Yeah, I didn't have corrective. So, you know, 5'10", slow, long snapper. But boy, what did I have? I'm mobile as shit. I can move with the best of them. Still can. 30 years old this year. No one has better shoulder mobility than me. I never had to worry about a corrective group. It was 8 minutes of extra exercise from what I remember. Maybe it was a little longer than that. That you would break out into before you'd hit your lifting. And again, like Coach said, it's to help balance your body so that everything is moving properly. And maybe more importantly, moving symmetrically is a way to put it. How much did you guys see? How did you guys measure improvement? I guess you re-FMS'd them, basically. Correct. Yep. What was your guys' success rate on a correctional, a guy who went 4 years, five years in the program? What was success rate on actually getting somebody from an FMS or from a correctional group to being out of that group?
It was above 95%. And like a lot of those guys that didn't come out of it, we just kept them in it to just do our job and to do our due diligence. Like, hey, a guy like Ike Butker kind of always had shoulder injuries. Could test out of the upper body stuff, but we're like, hey man, he's able to stay resilient. Let's just keep him in it. Like let's not stop doing it to him. Kittle, the torso group, like let's just keep him in the torso group because we just wanted to make, again, if things start to chronically show up, you want to be like, you know what? Let's not let that ever happen again. Yeah. So we would keep them in there. But yeah, when you retest, you're like, hey, so-and-so no longer has this deficiency. Cause we used to have a single leg group, a hip corrective, posterior chain corrective, torso corrective, upper body corrective. We had a quarterback group. And again, those quarterback groups, we keep them in it just because the repetitive nature of throwing. So again, it was just, let's try to be as proactive as possible instead of reactive.
Yeah. I remember Uyghurs in there. I mean, I think he would go in and do his own corrective for like an hour every day.
He used to come in, but when you guys would have film, he'd come in and do his own extra quarterback stuff because he wanted to take care of his body.
Yeah. You know, he does jiu-jitsu now, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Coach is a big jiu-jitsu guy.
This is true.
Fun fact. So a lot going on. There's a lot going on in the summer. Another thing that happens in the summer, which is probably maybe the hardest thing to deal with, it's the most unknown, is – you guys get a class of about 35 freshmen, at least when we came in. You guys get these freshman kids from high school, and they come from all different kinds of programs that did all sorts of lifting or not. In my case, like you guys would be shocked at how little structure my high school had for strength conditioning. How do we approach that? How do you get 35 kids from 35 different places, all in different spots? What is that a large part of the focus for the staff in the summer? 100%. Yeah.
And it actually starts before the guys get on campus, because so what Coach Doyle would do for us is we would break the freshmen up into the five of us or that sixth analytic coach. So there'd be six of us on staff when you count that person. And so we would break that group of freshmen into six, and I would have a list of kids to call and just kind of stay in touch with before they'd get here.
Really?
And so we'd also make sure that once they signed their national letter of intent, we sent them a program. So one of the coaches on staff was in charge of making sure, hey, get the program to them. And this was back before like PDFs, you could email it. We were making hard copies, getting it from Fed, sending it in the mail to them.
Like, I think I remember getting one of those. Yeah, I think I remember having one of those.
So, you know, we started it the minute that they signed on with us. I mean, even when kids like had a verbal commitment, we'd just be making like following all the guidelines of, hey, what we like, hey, you know, what can we say? What can't we say? But then again, once they graduate, we're just having informal conversations, building that relationship. And then, yes, once they get here, it's a slow integration. They're in their own group, as you knew, for the first 4 weeks. And it's on purpose because that first week that they get there, the whole stress, as we talked on our Washed Up Walk-On episode, is they got to learn where food is. They got to learn where their loops are, like all the things. So in the weight room, that first week, we're doing teaching, linear acceleration, lateral change in direction work, weight room, teaching and orientation. So that way they know what's going on in week one. And we're essentially
so much too. It's so much for freshmen.
Correct. And we knew that. So we took that into account. Then the next week, they're still in their own warm-up groups. We'll have a skill guy, so skill players, so everybody that's not an offensive or defensive lineman.
Freshman.
They'd warm up as freshmen. The skill freshmen would warm up by themselves. And typically we did that first thing in the morning because they would have other class responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You, Josie, Ward, and a handful of other you know, older players were in that 6 o'clock group too. But you know, we would train those freshmen by themselves to just introduce them to things. They'd have a different version of conditioning. They'd have an easier version of lifting. So they just understood, hey, this is how I go about lifting and how I go about doing things. Then after that 4 week mark, you have to integrate them. So it's okay. Hey, now you understand how to lift. Okay. You're still going to get less volume of the running. You're going to get easier lifting exercises. You will lift at a higher one rep max because you're nowhere near your true one rep max. Yeah. And that's how the integration starts. And obviously that's very important because, at Iowa, we had true freshman play, and all across the country it happens, but you have to go about it in that integrative fashion because kids are already drinking through the fire hose.
Yeah. That's a understatement, man. Like it was crazy. And the intensity adds to it, right? We walk in and it's, you know, Mark wasn't a coach when I was there, but it's Weissman, it's you, it's DeMarco, Coach Doyle. And you're just standing there. You feel like you're at boot camp. You're like, sir, yes, sir. I will do PAL mechanics. Yes, sir. It's like, oh my God, you're trying to remember everything. I think maybe the funniest thing, and I'm sure you can see it if once I say it too, is the freshman. Nobody wants to mess up, right? Nobody wants to be the guy who messes up. So the amount of like side eyeing and like guys looking around at other guys to make sure they're doing it right. It's like, it's the only thing that every guy.
Sometimes that'd be worse. Cause if we're like, hey, you know, mini band around the ankles, and then if somebody put it on.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, because if you're looking around, you get called out for that too. You're like, you don't know what's going on. You're not paying attention. You don't know what's going on. Did you listen on Monday? And the whole group is just like, oh my God. Oh no, this is just going so poorly. It's like you said, a lot of freshmen play. Like these guys have to be at a Big Ten caliber performance level on Saturday. That is, you guys have to go. You guys have to get them ready. And a large part of them maybe being able to play on the field is the fact that they may have been physically ahead of some of their classmates. That's part of it. And strategically, psychologically, they're just a little bit more mature. But another thing that you guys have to worry about in the summer and year round, because the strength staff is a large part of this, you know, we always try to harp on the fact that the strength staff gets 10x more time with the athletes than the coaches do throughout the entirety of a calendar year. You guys, the strength staff, they are in large part responsible for the culture and getting that freshman class to understand those unwritten rules, the expectations of the program, how you operate. Did you guys ever talk about that as a staff and how you approach that? How do we get these guys to integrate to the older grad? How do we foster those relationships? Was that ever a conscious thought for the for the strength staff? Or you guys were just it was through that sort of regimented, you know, lifting and stuff that they would just catch on?
Yeah, it was both, because like you said, I mean, if there's a freshman that comes in, and the whole reason that we would harp on, like, hey, we said mini band around the ankles, go and execute it, was trying to get them to understand in the game of football, the quarterback, whoever calling the play is going to say it. You need to have memory recall to do the thing and do it in a heightened state of, you know, what's going on. Because like you said, hey, go out and execute something against Michigan. Well, when the defense is pitching a 13 point against Michigan, that's a very good defense. If Josie's calling out, you know, whatever the check is, you have to hear it, execute it in a heightened state of awareness. So again, just generally preparing the body. Or if CJ's checking the play, you need to know, oh, he changed it from this to this, I have to do it. I shouldn't be looking around. I need to know what's going on. So that was part of it. And then, yes, we were very keenly aware of, like, how do you integrate these kids? Because like I said, we're calling them before they get here to try to build that rapport and form relationships with them. But when we did the Hawkeye Championship, those kids read their own book. They read The Slight Edge. Everybody else read different books. Yep. And it was like, hey, this is how we do things here at Iowa. It's simple daily disciplines repeated over time. And we are going to do that and teach you that literally with a book. We're going to give you some quizzes. We're going to teach you this book by itself, because that's how important it is.
Yep. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff for these guys to worry about in the summer. Just to cap it off, I want the people listening, I know we've talked about it before, I want the people to get an idea of what these guys are coming off of just time-wise, right? So a lot of them may have had classes in the summer, one or two classes, but training time-wise, this was a five-day-a-week program, Monday through Friday. Warm-ups were generally 45 minutes maybe on the long side. The lift part, probably an hour, maybe a little longer. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, depending on when we were in, like, the GPP part or any of that, yeah.
And then you have your conditioning after that, which is another 20 to 30 minutes, maybe longer if it's, you know, like the infamous stations and 60s day that Drake and I always talk about, where you were out there and it was 115 degrees. Oh, God. So these guys are doing – strength and conditioning wise, two and a half hours of work every day. And then when skills and drills get added on top of that, I think the lifting and the strength conditioning pulls back 10%, but then they add on another hour of skills and drills once or twice a week, I think, towards the end of the summer. So they're training a lot. They've got a heavy workload, and they have to, like Coach said, because they're going into camp. Camp's going to feature 2 to 3 hour practices, especially for the Devo group, that freshman, younger group that are really trying to get integrated, and they have to be ready. And that is what essentially they went through a couple weeks ago. They finished that a couple weeks ago, and they moved into camp. Camp is what we'll touch on next week, because camp's a whole different animal for you guys, especially now we have practice. You're dealing with injuries. You're dealing with conditioning. A lot of the guys are getting a lot of conditioning through practice, but you guys still have to focus on the strength program. How do we lift during camp? All that stuff. We'll touch on it next week. But the last thing we need to do for today, I think, is we got to come up with like a name for this podcast. And I was thinking the 5-10-5 show.
Ooh, perfect.
It's short. It's sweet. You know, we hit a topic for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. There was a lot of things that I could come up. I was going to call it like the lift card with Coach Justin Lima, or like training table with Coach. But I think the 5-10-5 show is actually pretty cool.
And it pays homage to your best, the best.
And this whole show is about me. And so we got to go with what I'm good at, which is the 5-10-5. I haven't ran one in a really long time. I really should line up in.
Speaking about how good your 5-10-5 is, I saw your cousin at Ankeny Centennial the other day when we were doing some force plate testing with them.
Yep.
And he mentioned to me how good your 5-10-5 was. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. He's probably a little bit more aerobic than I am physically. But he's probably twitchy too. I think it's just my brother was great at it. My brother set the record. He's got the record. He went and snapped in like 2021. He backed up Spiewak and Elkin now. And he broke my record by I think he ran like 3.87.
Wow.
And I was a 3.98 guy, 3.99. So it is what it is, but we'll call this the 5-10-5 show. I'm going to make a graphic. The overlay, I can make a new overlay for us. We'll be more official next week, but this is sort of what it's going to be like with Coach. We're going to go once a week, going to drop it on Fridays, the day before the game. We got a lot more stuff to talk about on the strength conditioning side of things this season. So thank you guys for listening, and we will see you guys next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.